Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. First of all, thank you for the special music. It's good to have a change in where we get to be a participant in the special music, right? So thank you so much for that. It's good to see you all here this morning. In spite of the blizzard in the middle of spring, I've just learned that Alberta does what it wants to do, and we kind of just have to learn to live with it. But I'm excited, I'm elated to be here because God is going to do a mighty good work this morning. And so I want to welcome all of our visitors from Winnipeg, those who are watching online, our regular members. I believe God is going to bless us and encourage us in a mighty way. This Sabbath's a little different. The young adults have the opportunity and blessing to lead you guys into worship this morning. And so our prayer is that you are blessed, that you are encouraged, and that you are strengthened. Amen? And so my prayer is that the message today isn't something that just resonates with you cognitively, but this is something that connects with your heart. See, what I need you to know is that the God that worked with Abraham, Moses, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that encouraged Ruth, Rahab, Deborah, and Esther, the God that walked with Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Apollos, the God that took on human flesh to heal the sick, to make the lame walk again, the God that gave vision to the blind, the God that raised those that were in the grave to life again, the God that works in history is the same God that works in 2026. And so I want to encourage you with that promise. You see, it's still the same God that can strengthen you in your weakness, encourage you in your sorrow, and deliver you from your pain and suffering. So I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that the God I serve is a consistent God, that he's always been there for me in the times of need. See, the Bible says in Psalms that my God is a strength and a refuge and ever-present help whenever you need him in the times of struggle. And I pray that as a church, we not only become the arms and leg of the gospel, but we become the heart of it as well. Have you ever considered how easy it is to say that you believe in something or in someone until it costs you? You see, it's easy to say I'm a Christian and I believe in the gospel message, but what happens when we don't open up our word daily? You see, it's easy to say that I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and I believe in the Advent movement, but what happens when we forget to convey the beauty and truth behind the Advent message instead of the rules and regulations and the do's and the do-nots? You see, it's easy to say I'm committed to truth and Jesus, but what happens when we don't tell our brothers and sisters the truth in fear of rejection from the world, and we instead enable bad behavior? You see, this morning I want to speak to you under the subject, standing on business. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, are you ready to stand on business? Now, I know for some of us, we're a little confused because maybe this isn't lingo that we use traditionally. But just to give you some context, standing on business is something young people use to say, no matter what is happening around me, I'm choosing to stand on truth. Amen? And so before we get into it, let's just have a word of prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for all that you've done, your undying love and the sacrifice you did for us. God, in this moment, we ask that you come down and to bless this place. God, we ask that you send your angels and send your word, that it is your message through me. Speak to me, speak to your people. This is my prayer. Amen. You see, as young people and the young at heart, the question is, are we really ready to stand on business? Or do we just stand on business when it's comfortable? You see, friends, there's a sect of Christians that are willing to carry the bloodstained banner and receive the title of what it means to be Christian when it benefits them. However, when things start to get a little shaky, when things start to get a little rocky, they're the first to jump ship. You see, reality is that in this day and age, we've become very loud in our opinions and in our beliefs and in our identity, that when pressure comes, we fold instead of become refined. See, the Bible dispenses this truth in John 16, verse 33, that says, I have told you this all that you may have peace in me. Here on this world and on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. It's interesting that Jesus says, I tell you this to have peace, and then proceeds to say, you will face sorrow, but then ends with, because I've overcome the world. And we're going to see this as a trend as we study together. So the beauty of standing on the solid rock, that cornerstone that is Jesus Christ, is that when pressure comes, you don't fold. You actually begin to be refined. See, faith that only shows up and works effectively in comfortability is fraudulent faith. It's counterfeit. Real faith becomes refined through the process of being pressed. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with the story of Daniel. We're going to take a look at the challenges that he and his friends had faced and gain encouragement for how we can stand on business for him in our lives. And so the scripture reading this morning in Daniel 3, verse 16 to 18 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the burning fire, the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. See, somebody who may be unfamiliar with this text may have some questions. What has happened so far to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a position to defy the king of Babylon? And how are they able to stand on business? How are they able to stand on truth in the presence of the king? See, what you have to do is when you come to scripture, you have to look at the context. You see, God had delivered the people of Judah into the hands of Babylon. And before they could become productive members of society, of Babylonian society, they were to be stripped of their entire identity. So Nebuchadnezzar had a plan, and his plan was simple. Take 3 years to re-educate their entire lives, to change their language, to change the way they wrote, and their diet, and then their name. And what you need to understand about culture back then is that the name that you had was not just something that your parents called you by. It was connected to your purpose. So Nebuchadnezzar is trying to change their purpose, but he actually fails. And we'll see that in this text. And so my first point for you today is that standing on business starts with private conviction. See, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as their Hebrew names, had to make intentional choices prior to this national decree to worship the golden image. See, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel was determined. Other translations say he resolved to not defile himself by eating the food and the wine that was given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. You see, Daniel's defiance toward the king had a purpose. The choice not to eat or drink what the king was offering was fueled by intention and purpose. They weren't just defying the king for the sake of it. And sometimes we look at the incredible courage that these three Hebrew boys had to not bow down to the idol and think that it's all in the big moments. But the book of Daniel describes the choices they had before getting to that point that empowered them to defy the king of Babylon. So this morning, what do your convictions look like? What pressures have you faced that has challenged you to step out in faith regardless of the consequence? You see, Christians, we want that type of faith that allows us to stand up against oppression and the world we see today. We want Jesus Christ printed on the backs of our jerseys because we want to be part of the team. But when it comes down to supporting in high-pressure situations, do we stand on business? Saints of God, the thing is, you don't rise to the moment, you stand on the foundation of your conviction. Sometimes we fall into this trap of saying, I'll get ready to be serious with God when my relationship with him changes and my situation starts to change. I'll make this move and commitment with God when he shows up for me in the way I want him to. And sometimes we get in the trap of saying things like this. And I don't know what each of you may be going on through this in this very moment, but you can be confident in the God we serve to come through for us when we spend time with him daily. You see, there was a pastor that pastors in Loma Linda, Dr. Dillis Brooks, and she preaches fire sermons. Like, every line is a bar, and I'm like, how on earth did you come up with that? And so I asked her, how do you come up with these sermons? Do you know what she said to me? She said, if you spend every day with Jesus, you will always have something to preach about. Start making the decisions now to follow God, follow the word, and allow it to be alive in you. We can't wait for temptation and the problems to be at our doorstep to start getting ready. We can't wait for the second coming of God to then decide to follow him.
Now, this is not something that's always easy to do. You will face challenges, you will face hiccups and bumps along the way. James 1 talks about rejoicing in trials. But friends, can I say that this will be the most rewarding and fulfilling decision you will ever make in your life? See, because while everyone else is seeing a glass half empty, God is reforming and shaping your perspective to see a glass half full. See, friends, the reality is that your public victories are built on private decisions that not everyone sees. When we look at the stories of Abraham, Gideon, and Joseph, before God blessed them with the victory in their lives, they had to trust him in the not-so-promising situations. Church family, are we willing to make obedient choices now, no matter how small and significant they feel? See, sometimes the way we talk, the way we eat, choosing to give thanks to God in the morning and before we go to bed seem like small decisions. But that is where the decisions that make or break your relationship with God start. My second point for you this morning is that standing on business means faith under pressure. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with a life or death moment. And the question became, will they be crushed by the pressures or will they be purified through the process? Will they bow or will they burn? Now, this seems like a scary ultimatum because how many of us here are willing to die for our faith? But can I encourage someone this morning that it won't always be extreme as a national decree. Sometimes God may be asking you to shift your perspective in the situation that you are currently in. Because according to the text, first there was an assimilation of diet. Before they got to standing up while everyone else was bowing down, it started with a small choice. So what do you do when your back's against the wall? Do you allow the pressure to compress until you can't move? Or do you gain the fortitude to push through the seemingly impossible route through faith? See, amidst the pressures of the national decree and the assimilation of Babylonian culture, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during the process had their character revealed in the process. See, in Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the courage to say to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Can you guys pause for a second and understand what's happening? These three Hebrew boys who were taken as captives are telling the king, "We actually don't need to answer you." How many of us are willing to not answer our mom or dad when they speak to us? So this is a king. This is a person who has power. The three Hebrew boys had faith that equipped them with the boldness to say to the king, "We actually don't need to answer you in this moment." Verse 17 says, "If this be so, our God whom we serve will be able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." What's interesting is that they understand that God delivered them into that situation to begin with. Oh, we're missing it. God delivered them into Babylon. How many of us blame God for the circumstances that we're currently in? But the beauty in this is that when you go and you read Daniel chapter 1, verse 2, it says the Lord gave Jehoiakim into the king's hand. Which means if God puts you in that situation, you can be confident that he'll take you out. And that's what they were begging. That's what they had their foundation on. See, the pressure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced didn't make them more faithful. It only revealed and exposed the faith that they already had. See, sometimes we expect this amazing faith story where we're able to walk on water and heal the sick and expect God to turn up in a mighty way. But oftentimes, God comes through in the most interesting and subtle ways. Just like when Elijah was in the mountain in the cave depressed and God said, "I'm going to meet you." He didn't come in the storm or in the earthquake. He came in the small whisper. This is not to say that God doesn't come in the big miraculous ways anymore, but the point here is that we ought to trust God even in the dark situation. This means trusting God when we don't know how we're going to pay the bills. This means trusting God when we're going through mental stress and anxiety. This means trusting God when sometimes our relationships are falling apart. See, the book of Daniel teaches us that we can be confident in what God will do during the troubling times. Do we trust God that knows what he's doing? And do we trust and Do we trust that God knows what he's doing when he gives us into various situations, or do we blame him? Can we change our perspective from, I know that God allowed me into the situation, so I know that he can take me out? So the question becomes, what is the lesson that God is trying to teach you? Not only you, but those who are watching. And this leads me to my last point, that standing on business leads to public impact. See, one of the beautiful lessons that Daniel chapters 1 to 3 teaches us is that public impact that we have on people is effective when we stand on business for God. And I'd actually argue that the non-believers that we see in our world today would actually respect us more if what we said matches what we do. Have you ever felt yourself in a position where you've made it public to people that you are a Christian, and because of your commitment to God, you will stand with him? But then what happens when your coworker starts getting on your nerves and getting a rise out of you? Do you allow the anger and frustration to fuel your decisions? Do you allow the frustration to take the driver's seat? Or do you think, maybe I can be the Christian that impacts this person? See, when you stand on business for God, sometimes people may ignore it at first, but what they can't always ignore is the impact that it'll have on them. And we see this with Nebuchadnezzar. See, friends, the lesson in this point is that you may not always feel appreciated when you stand on business. You may have some Nebuchadnezzars in your life that want to discourage you, destroy you, belittle you. You may have friends that will leave you and disfellowship you, or family members that may say, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. But may I submit to you this morning that even though it may not look like standing on business leads to public impact, you can trust God that he's working on their hearts. Because Daniel and his three buddies learn to walk in private conviction and withstand the high pressures of the death decree and the blazing furnace, that God was able to use them as extra arms and legs for the love that God had for Nebuchadnezzar. And sometimes we forget that that person at work who's problematic, or that student from your class that is getting on your last nerve, or that one driver that cut you off this morning that you wanted to cuss out, sometimes we forget that they too were created in the image of God. And they are walking that same life and are dealing with the same emotional baggage and scars and medical challenges as we do, because at the end of the day, they're human too. And so God in Daniel chapters 1 to 3 is using Israel to be an extension of his love and his mercy for not only the Babylonians, but King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, influence isn't about the platform. It's about consistency. Daniel and his three friends were not effective because they were the only ones that ate a vegetarian diet. It was because they chose to stand instead of bowing down. They were effective because they consistently standed on business. And that was enough to start planting a seed in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. It was the start of transformation. Watch this. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, when Daniel reveals the dream, it says that the king answered and said, Daniel, truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. You see, later on in chapter 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their body rather than serve and worship any god that wasn't theirs. You see, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's faith to God, their boldness to stand on business, gave them the courage and the tenacity to witness about who the true God is. And because of their public stand for God, it began a transformative work in the life of the Babylonians and also Nebuchadnezzar. And so, to conclude, standing on business is hard only when we haven't fully trusted God with our lives. Because when we trust that we are in his hands, there is no fire too hot. There's no painful situation too extensive that Jesus cannot heal. See, family, are we ready to make that first step to standing on business today? Are we ready to start being compelled by our private convictions on what God has called us to do, where he's called us to go, and who he's called us to minister to? Are we ready to allow the pressures of life to reveal the faith that will make us more secure in who we are in Christ. And my prayer is that from this day forward, we choose to stand on business in our schools, in our workplaces, in our lives at home, in our church, in our families, in our relationships, and through every aspect of our lives, because you don't know who you may reach in that process. Sometimes we're unaware of the people who are looking us at Christians and be like, why is it that you are so calm under this pressure? I remember my mom telling me stories of her going to work and there's a problem at work, and her coworkers would say, well, how is it that you're able to stay so calm? Like me, I'm ready just to start a fight. But it's because people, when they see Jesus in you and I, it compels them to want to study more. Imagine the room here being filled with people who are genuinely searching for something better for their lives. Sometimes we assume that the drugs and the drinking that people get involved in is because they want to do it. Sometimes it's because that's their only option. What if we are a light for them, where we can say, hey, when you see me, you can see that God is alive in me. That I'm not just going to tell you to fix your life, I'm going to show you how. Look at Jesus. Friends, when we do this, we draw closer to God. Jesus says that when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me. Can you imagine that if we stopped focusing on, I need to do this right to be saved, till I want Jesus to be the center of my life, and look how people will gravitate towards you. It's like science. When there's I don't even really know how science works like that, but when gravity happens and the sun and the earth rotate around each other, it's because there's a force that cannot be seen, but it's there. Can we be the gravity that pulls people in to the graft of Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter what you're struggling with right now, and I want to compel you and appeal to you that whatever you may be dealing with, whatever challenges that your family may be going through, and I know that in this church we deal with a lot, and we're praying sincerely for the faith of those who are suffering mental illness, physical illness, I want to encourage you that the God who was there for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that walked through with Rahab, Deborah, and Esther, the God that was there with Paul leading out the early church in his early ministry, the God that came down to earth to die for our sins and to heal those that he interacted with is the same God that works in 2026. Don't lose your love for Jesus. Keep that at the center of everything you do, because at the end of the day, you know what the words I want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And I don't, and frankly, If I lose an arm, maybe that's a little drastic, if I get into a problem, I know that the person I am entrusting with my life is a personal friend. Not some deity, not some God that just looks down on us, but a God that was personal. A God that lives in the hearts of you and me. And so this is my prayer for you. That when you go home, when you go about your day, and when you go about your week, look to stand on business. Everybody say stand on business with me. Amen. Stand on business, because people will see it. That's how we're going to get people to have their lives dedicated to God, through the experience and the witness. That's why God has called us to be a witness. To be, I know this God, and because of my stance on truth and who he is, that's all I need. That's all I need. And so I pray that you were blessed in a mighty way this Sabbath. Amen.